This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. Opening half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Easy for me to talk about. I am a customer. And that's because I knew I was going to get the vehicle I wanted. I knew I was going to get treated tremendously with people who wanted to work with my needs. And I knew they were going to put together a financing plan and a protection plan that was going to be exactly what I needed. That's how you'll get treated. That's why you go to Sunbury Motors. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way, whether it's routine, which you need, difficult, which you don't want, but has to happen sometimes. They can handle it. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We'll have Mike Poorman on in a few minutes. I want to start with something you may not know about, if you don't mind, Todd.
You piqued my interest.
As you know, Pat Fitzgerald was fired last year after the allegations of hazing at Northwestern. Okay. And David Braun came in and did a great job. Was the Big Ten Coach of the Year. Got to a bowl game. Everything. You really did a terrific job. Well, Northwestern then commissioned a group to look into what happened. Now, this is after they've done the internal investigation. And you know, they're being faced with lawsuits by former Northwestern athletes. They're being hit with a lawsuit by Pat Fitzgerald for what he perceives to be wrongful termination. Well, they came out with this yesterday. This is the Bloomberg Law Group. Excuse me, this is the Paul Weiss of Rifkin, a team of Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Wharton, and Garrison. And the lead partner is former U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch. They interviewed 120 people. They spent hours, all of them billable, by the way, looking into this. They were brought in to investigate allegations of hazing by former athletes that resulted in the numerous lawsuits and the eventual firing of Pat Fitzgerald. They released their report. And they recommended that Northwestern enhance its hazing prevention. Really? Really? That was the recommendation? Really? Everything you've done. That's exactly what they said a year ago when they did the internal investigation. You paid all that money for that?
Well, they can't recommend they fire Fitzgerald or anything. They already did that.
Right, but that's what you recommended? That's common sense. You might as well have taken the money, brought it to the what used to be the 50-yard line, it's all dirt now, and burned it. You and I could have come up with that. They recommended enhancing hazing prevention training. Really? They interviewed more than 120 people. This investigation went on for 11 months. That's what they came up with? The results of our review have largely been positive, said the investigators. They found room for improvement when it came to preventing hazing during a nearly year-long review.
What's more obnoxious, the amount of money spent on the interviews or the amount of money that they probably sat in a room for a week to come up with that conclusion?
Anybody who knows anything about this scandal knows that it is obvious that you have to, right, enhance hazing prevention and hazing prevention training. It took 11 months to come up with that? You had to spend all your money to come up with that? This is not quite the equivalent because of the seriousness of hazing, which you and I detest. But remember back in 2014, TCU and Baylor went into the final weekend of the regular season with no Big 12 championship game. And TCU, I think, was third, and I want to say Baylor was fifth, and Ohio State was sixth. And Ohio State blew out Wisconsin. Urban ran up the score because he knew he had to put as high a number on as possible. They beat him like 58 to nothing or some number. And Baylor had a regular season win over a lower-level Big 12 team. TCU had a blowout win over a lower-level Big 12 team. And when everything came out, Ohio State was fourth. TCU was fifth. Baylor was sixth. Ohio State then beat Alabama and then won the national championship, but they beat Oregon. And so Bob Bowlsby commissioned a group to look into what they needed to do. Do you want the conclusion was? Because you had co-champions, they didn't get a full data point, and that's what kept them out. You should declare a champion. That was the conclusion. Once again, you and I could have told them that. And we would have taken less money. We probably would have taken Applebee's certificates. The meeting would have lasted 10 minutes.
What you do is, you know, they took months. We make it last at least 2 weeks, so we get a little bit of,
because
money
like
out of it.
I like to have lunch.
Yes. And then we tell them.
It's like with the Wells thing on. Wells did the Miami Dolphins hazing thing, the Richie Incognito investigation. We interviewed, what did he interview, 400 people? Then he did the Deflategate thing. We interviewed 350 people. 350 people, for God's sakes, just pull aside that, like 14 people that were like directly involved, and then go from there. Including the officials who handled the footballs on every play, could you tell?
I figured first, you could Google Richie Incognito and do that investigation.
Oh, believe me, no, I did a game. I did a Penn State-Nebraska game where Richie Incognito got thrown out. They were playing Penn State. He got thrown out of the game. I mean, but my point is, why are you commissioning all these people when these decisions are pretty much a common sense thing? I know you want to give off the semblance of independence. All right? So I understand that. But, geez, these things are taking a long time to do what? Come up with obvious conclusions? We should have better hazing prevention training. Really? So you spent 11 months and that's what you came up with? Well, no offense, all of us came up with that 11 months ago.
I'm guessing they need a paperwork trail.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Who knows? I see stuff like that. Hazing is despicable. I've always felt that. So it's serious. It's serious. But the process with which they come to this conclusion is laughable. It's laughable. We interviewed 120 people. Okay, fine. I read that today and I went, what the heck? 11 months? You couldn't have come up with that in 2 to 3? If I'm Pat Fitzgerald's attorneys, I'm waiting for the phone call that says, let's sit down and settle. And we were out there for the game when it was announced who the attorneys happened to be for Pat Fitzgerald, and it's a group that you don't really want to deal with in litigation like this. We've seen too many of these things, and I understand that the intent is it's an independent group, right? But to come up with stuff that if you're any kind of leader, it's a common sense solution. I don't need to spend all that money, right? The only thing I want to know through the investigation is that how serious is it? Because we're going to do all these things. I just want to make sure that we know how bad it was. I need to know that. But the solutions to it,
when I was Googling it, it did say that the judge told them in February that they should probably come up with a settlement, which obviously now we're in June, they still haven't yet.
Right. Well, but that's standard in lawsuits, because the court doesn't want to, if it's possible to not spend the time and money on it in a courtroom, it clears the docket for another case. So that's always the recommendation by the judge. You know how we talked about the House versus the NCAA settlement? Well, Claudia Wilkin, I believe, is the judge in the case. She still hasn't signed off on it yet. She will at some point. But that came to the front because she told him it would go to the court in January 2025, and she said, "Hey, look, you know, do what you can to settle it." Well, she's right. Right? Well, this judge is right, too. If you two sides can settle it, it's one less case that we have to go over in court, and we can clear it for another case if the two sides can come to an agreement. So it's just, that's smart judicial prudence.
Well, I wonder if House hinders this a little bit as well, just in the fact that, you know, we talk about Northwestern needs money to pay athletes. This is going to be probably at least a $30 or $40 million payout for Pat Fitzgerald in the settlement as well.
How about 70 to 100?
That's maybe. Probably why they're not settling. I mean, that's a lot of money for a private school.
I know it is, but they also have to Northwestern's credit, they do have a significant donor base. May not be large, but they are deep-pocketed. I mean, how do you end up building your stadium for $800 million? And by the way, donors are paying for it.
Deep pockets.
Yeah.
Okay, probably Mike, not from the journalism school.
Yeah. The NBA draft, we'll get to that later because we have Mike Poorman next half hour. And by the way, the Sixers did well. You know, not awesome and incredible, but they did well. Bono from UCLA, second round. That's a good second round pick based on their needs. And then, of course, you get the Jared McCain from Duke, shooter. Okay. I mean, the Sixers, to their credit, I think on paper had a solid draft. Solid draft. Nobody had an exceptional draft because it's not a deep draft. And yes, we will get to the Bronny James thing. We'll get to that as well. I'm not as taken aback by the whole thing, and I'll explain my reasons why. I'll just briefly at least touch on that. They drafted Dalton Connect in the first round. If Bronny had been the first round pick, then we'd be having a serious discussion. But they drafted Dalton Connect. That was a very good first round pick. He fell to the Lakers and they took advantage of it. All right. But we're going to get to that later. Mike, next half hour. Hopefully we get the King today. We haven't had the King on in a couple weeks.
I was going to say, we've been off some Fridays. He's missed some Fridays.
I know.
I don't think he's been on in the month of June yet.
No, I know. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, my understanding is after we had the Matt Cotrillo segment, I've talked to neighbors, and they said the yelling in the Cotrillo household did dissipate for 24 hours. So I feel like we accomplished something.
The Yankees-Blue Jays game last night did not help those things.
No, nor did the Mets series.
No.
There's a drive, and it wasn't hit by a... You know, I guess what they were talking about. Soto hit a home run to make it, 5-1 against the Mets or something like that. And he and Judge are doing some dance at home plate and whatever. Like, it's 5-1. You're losing. Okay? You're not going to win.
Yeah, man, they were playing so well. I think they've lost 10 of their last 13. It's just, I realize it's a long season, but.
Yeah, it's a long season.
Man.
It is.
It goes away sometimes.
Yeah. And now Schwarber's banged up. Harper got hurt. You know, hamstring, it looks like. Oh, it's a long year. All right, we'll come back. More in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I mean, Northwestern might as well have hired Dewey Cheatham and Howe to do that report. They'd have come up with the same thing in the same billable hours. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. And we begin our journey in this half hour with the outstanding Mike Poorman. It's always a pleasure to talk with Mike and get his perspective, and he puts a lot of work and research into what he does. Mike, welcome back.
It's great to be back, Professor Jones. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking on this late June day. Okay, so let's get into the House settlement and the $22 million that all the power schools have to come up with. It's either that or 22%. It turns out to be $22 million. If you're doing a 3 to 5 year budget projection, things, of course, that you have to do in the College of Communications, among other things, it's probably not there in last year's budget number. Okay. So what is it going to take for schools to come up with? Go ahead, Mike.
No, especially when Penn State's numbers that they submitted to the NCAA on $200 million of revenues showed a profit excess of $126,000. So you're right, it's not there.
So, there are going to be some changes. I mean, let's face it, the Playfly contract's now going to be in play in one of these budget projections. The college football playoff number is going to be up in the budget projection. There's going to be more money from TV in there in the next budget projection. It has to be, because we know it's all going up. So there is going to be money in there. But what does this do, in your opinion, to like an ACC school that doesn't have that kind of television contract and doesn't have that kind of radio contract?
Boy, that's you hit the nail on the head two ways. One, it is where Penn State's going to, and schools like Penn State are going to find that money. There's new money with the college football playoff. There's increased money with the TV deals kicking in across all the networks. And then, you know, additional sponsorships. You know, I think Playfly is a huge ad for Penn State. I mean, I think you're going to see immediately probably a seven-figure increase in revenues from them. But to answer your question, you're going to see cuts. Now, whether you're going to see sports being cut, that's very possible. But I think still head coaches are going to make the money, but I think you're going to see fewer staffers. I think you're going to see open positions. I think you're going to see, as tough as it sounds for conferences now become coast to coast, you're going to see cuts in travel. And I think you're going to see this happen is, and you know well, with the Austin money, where the Supreme Court ruling from a few years ago for athletic academic performance, which is now being seen as getting a 2.2. Schools can give up to $6,000 per athlete. I think you are going to see those Austin payments be cut or not be made. And I think cost of attendance, where schools are able to pay up to $5,000 a year to student athletes for travel, for books, for laptops, I think you're going to see that being cut. So between cost of attendance money and Austin money, that's $11,000 a year per scholarship athlete. I think that's going to be a thing in the past. It may even be a thing in the past for schools in the Big Ten and the SEC.
Yeah, and I think that's because I think what's going to happen is they'll say, hey, that money's actually being rolled into the $22 million. And I think that's going to be part of it. In other words, it's going to be all part of what you're doing. And I think that's... I'm not saying that's the excuse. I think that's what you're going to hear people say.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's going to be... You're going to look at an overall compensation package of NIL, of house payments, of cost of attendance, of Austin, of scholarship, of room and board. And you're going to... Student athletes are going to get... Here's your amount for the year. It's not going to be parsed out in all those directions. That doesn't mean NIL is not going to stop, but especially for the football, basketball, wrestling, maybe women's volleyball. But I think you're going to see more of here's the number you're going to get, and it's not going to be parsed out in five or six categories.
And Title IX is going to play a role in all this, and that can't be forgotten, and which I then think affects some other sports, because I think you have to make hard decisions here. What does this do, for example, for an average school in the Power Four about having more club sports as opposed to having varsity sports?
Well, that's a great question. I read something really interesting last week, Steve, that I need to do more research on before classes start and try to discuss this in the classroom. The Title IX question, you know, you could make a case from a labor perspective that the distribution of the house money and NIL money is based on earnings.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The large percentage of that is coming from broadcast contracts, and you're giving that money based on the money coming in broadcast-wise. So I saw a great piece written by a sports attorney where it said it may be that the House $22 million may be given out this way: 75% football, 5% men's basketball, 5% women's basketball, and 15% to everyone else. And the rationale is just what I stated. Because the preponderance of that money is coming in not for Title IX, but it's coming in for revenues earned based on broadcast revenues. So it can be distributed that way.
Right. And that may end up out, but there's still going to be the possibility of having a, there's going to be some Title IX distribution in there, because I'm sure there's going to be a feeling that you have to do it at this point, especially you mentioned volleyball and women's basketball, were certainly two popular sports to begin with, as is, say, for example, you're an Oklahoma softball player. They're a popular sport.
Now, that's a great example. I think, and I do think you're right, Steve. I think whether it's the Power 2, the Power 4, at the group level, you are going to see a retrenchment of some varsity sports to meet Title IX requirements. It's interesting. Harvard has the most, among Division I, has the most varsity sports programs, 42.
Right.
But they don't give out any scholarships. So it's easy for them to meet the Title IX requirements. Whereas once you start giving out scholarships, Austin money, cost of attendance money, then Title IX really does come into play. Maybe not out of Penn State, and I think Penn State has a rich history with this 31 varsity sports, but I do think that maybe even the second tier Power Four, you know, the Vanderbilts, or certainly, you know, the Big 12 and the ACC schools, you may see a retrenchment as far as men's and women's teams. Here's one more example. Alabama only has 21 varsity
That's
sports.
Right.
It's going to be much easier for them to meet Title IX requirements than Ohio State, which has 36.
Right. Yeah, and Texas, for example, has 17. All right.
That's a great example.
Right. And now there's the next part. There was an article written about donor fatigue, and the article actually centered on Georgia. Georgia. Talking to some longtime season ticket holders about NIL and donor fatigue because, hey, look, we donate for seats, we donate for parking, then we pay for the tickets, you know, and they were going through it. How important can sponsorships now be, whether it's field or the potential of doing what the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball do right now with jersey sponsorships at this point to maybe ease donor fatigue because of this?
No, that's a great point. I think they are going to have to look for new revenues, they meaning whether it's the schools or the Playflies of the world. The interesting thing about that is that I think there is value to be had. Now, whether everyone's going to be happy about that, but there was a thing the other day where one of the marketing companies put a value of a patch on a jersey at the upper level schools, and they listed Penn State with $6 million. So
that's
it's
right.
Not a donation, it's a value. If you get a patch on a jersey, it's a value if you get something on the field. And here's another thing that you're going to see happen, and the timing is interesting. It even kind of includes a little Title IX. The Playflies of the world, when you look at the success of Caitlin Clark and the growth of women's athletics, you're opening up a whole new category of potential sponsors and ways for them to reach their audience through college athletics that had never been an avenue before. So I think if you're able to give value for that money, and now there's more opportunities than ever. Now, you may see maybe a preponderance of that, and you don't think the college athletics is going to become NASCAR or minor league baseball, and no offense to the Spikes. I think Wagner Company do an awesome job of incorporating value for the community. But I do think you hit the nail on the head. The money has to come from other sources in addition to the donors.
I mean, they're already allowed to now start putting sponsor logos on the field. Just so everybody knows, the last game that Penn State played was the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. And, of course,
great point.
Right? And the logos were at midfield, which was the actual peach in the whole deal, but then Chick-fil-A standing alone at between the 20 and 30 on each side. And I don't think anybody noticed or cared, to be honest with you, Mike. I think you'll notice and care the first time you see it. After that, I think it becomes a fabric.
No, I think that's an outstanding point, and it's very recent. And I kind of laugh because, and you know this because you're around the guys all the time, especially football wise. They love Chick-fil-A. When you look at the amount that Chick-fil-A gets, or the Pop-Tarts Bowl gets, I mean, if you pair it, and I'm not saying Hershey's going to do it, but you know, I mean, Hershey's a natural, right? It's a Pennsylvania corporation, a product people love. In fact, and you know I love this stuff, Steve, the head of global innovation for Hershey Foods, that where they create new kind of candies, guess where he went to school?
Yeah, he went to school at Penn State.
Absolutely. So those ties are cool.
And so now let's get to the part that hasn't been approved yet, and that is the jersey patch. So we'll take a player that is now gone because she's now in the WNBA. What, you know, it would have been a natural tie-in last year for Iowa to be with State Farm, for example. Yeah. One thing I will say about the NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball uniforms, they've done a great job of not making the logos. Yeah, it doesn't say Fly Emirates across the front. Right? They blend in.
Great example.
Except for Love's Truck Stops with the Oklahoma City Thunder because of the yellow heart. All their logos, whether it's Chime with the Nuggets, Vistaprint with the Celtics, StubHub with the, at one point, I think it's Crypto.com now for the Sixers, they actually blend in with the jerseys.
Well, you, it's a great point. You remember when
here comes the
Bush
Nike
was added to the Penn State jersey and what the uproar is was, but it's hard to see. It's ingrained literally in the fabric of the memory now when you look at logos like that and the examples you gave.
Well, because I spoke in Johnstown last week and I brought this up and they said, oh, well, what, the swoosh isn't advertising enough? And I looked over and I said, guys, it's 2024. I said, every time they get a sponsor like that, it takes pressure off donors to donate. And everybody looked up and went, yeah, you're right.
No, and I think that's the key. It does take the pressure off of them. And you're looking at value. There's a reason private equity wants to get into college athletics. Yeah. Right now, college athletics are undervalued in the marketplace as far as reaching the audience at a great price.
So I'm glad you brought up private equity, Mike, because I want to ask you about that. It's not as if private equity can't help. It's what private equity expects from you in exchange for the money. And there are a lot of people I know that are wary of private equity if it's done extensively. Not that private equity shouldn't be done, but to what extent? What have you heard about that?
Well, there was I just saw this on Sportico, which is a great sports industry newsletter, and they didn't name the company, they didn't name the school, but it was a school that had an annual athletics budget of about $150 million, which puts you in the neighborhood of a Purdue or a Minnesota. And their expectations as far as what a private equity firm wants is they want a 2% annual fee, and then they want 20% of revenues. And they expect to recoup their money in 5 years.
Right.
And after that, that's when they kick in. So it's a five-year investment for the private equity firm to get their money back. And then it becomes, then you're looking at 20% annual revenue. And here's the thing, even if you're a Penn State and you're flat last year at $126,000 profit, if the private equity is going to help you fund the stadium where you're going to bring in a massive amount of new money, then it makes sense that private equity is going to share in that money.
And by the way, I don't expect it, the revenue to be flat next year because that's where the first TV... and again, remember, the Big Ten TV contract's backloaded. But the first installments came in this budget year. Keep in mind, the first installments of the Playfly money do not come in until the year after because they just started. And then the first installments of the college football playoff come in the year after that. So I don't expect to see flat numbers, Mike, in each of the next three reports because they'll have each year will have an additional bump.
No, I'm saying they were flat last year.
Right, no, and you're absolutely accurate about that. And I'm saying that I don't expect to see that in each of the next 3 years because there'll be revenue sources that weren't there before.
No, and you know, I got to tell you, and we're not going to see. You're right; we're not going to see it this year.
Right.
But if this report, I think it was from Engage, valued a jersey patch at $6 million year
for
a single school.
Right.
That's transformational in and of itself. Now you have to sell it. And Pat had some good comments, Pat Kraft, the last week about that. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing
That's
to
right.
do it. But
That's
even
right.
at half of that, $3 million a year is a really significant chunk of change.
Well, and, you know, that's $6 million for football. You can get others for other sports, too. The key is to sell it. And the key is not So the people in the stadium go, oh, look, sponsor, it's on TV every play.
Yeah.
That's the key to it. It's on TV. And you know what? I was talking with Sweeney Murdy a couple weeks ago. He said what really interests him is that he'll go to games and he sees Yankee fans buying jerseys with the Star Insurance patch on the side of it because they want to have the current jersey and they don't care the patch is there.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. He's a great guy, and he's super smart because he's made the jump from just a New York market to all Major League Baseball. But you're right; it's totally being authentic. I even thought of this with you brought up, Steve. But let's say you get a sponsor. Penn State gets a sponsor for the jerseys of just all the women's team. So if you get someone like Procter & Gamble or L'Oreal,
that's right.
or Dove just for the women's team.
Yep.
That exposure times all the women's teams times all the TV is a great tie into a new market.
And remember, all the sports are on TV because of BTN. So you're going to get TV exposure no matter what and which sport it happens to be. Well,
I think, Steve, we should sit in the next marketing meeting, you and I.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure they'd love to see my shining face come in there. Oh, what does he want? Mike... Always a pleasure. This was a great conversation, and what you did was fabulous. Loved it.
All right. Hey, thanks for asking. And Todd, appreciate you having me on, too.
Mike Poorman, of course, College Community, Belisario College of Communications, but also does a great job, statecollege.com, and covers so many topics. Great to have him on board. We will take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. By the way, we just got a note from Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, and they claim they would have come up with the same Northwestern report, but they would have charged more billable hours. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.